Let's talk relationships. All you need is love. All you need is love. All you need is love. Love. Love is all you need. Money. Yeah, I don't know about you, but it can be one of the real stressful elements in life. I like to wonder how much money I would need to then not worry about money anymore. But I'm not sure that that number even exists, that it's real. One of the big conversations my then partner, now husband, and I had when we were deciding to move out together was that no matter what happened, we would never fight about money. I think on the whole, we've stuck to that for the last 12 years pretty well, but it hasn't been easy. So let's talk money and your relationships with relationship coach from The Sugar Doctor, Tara Whitewood. Good morning.
Morning, Kaya.
Money.
Money.
It's a big word, especially when we're talking relationships, right?
Sure. And it contains so much, you know, so many emotional and
there's the physical thing of actually, do we have enough money?
Yes.
There's the trust that comes with money as well.
Yes.
There's the big conversations about combining, not combining, what's frivolous to that person may not be frivolous
being
to the other.
Adult, you know, how much money do we need to really, like, what's the difference between being an adult and just
living?
And being a bit too intense?
Is it all this complexity as to why then money can cause big drama?
Hugely, hugely. And what I see with people is that they think that they're disagreeing or solving or talking about financial problems, but they're actually not at all. What they're doing is they're looking at their financial issues through the lens of their emotional responses, through their conditioned beliefs and values, through, you know, what the money as a symbol means to them. And then they're making that mean all of this different stuff in their relationship. It's actually one of the greatest predictor of divorce in a relationship is not so much the amount of money, but the way that people navigate their money conversations.
So often we use it as a crux to fight about other things? Is that what we're saying?
Well, no, not so much. Not so much that we use it as a crux, but just that we take it so seriously. It's such an important...
Well, we all need it to survive, unfortunately, don't
right?
we? Like, literally, there is nothing we can do in life at the moment that does not involve money.
Yeah, and it's actually cool that you said, you know, you want to know the number. How much money do I need?
How much money do I need to not think about money?
I have that answer for you today, Kaya. I do.
What's the magic number?
So there's been quite a lot of research around this, and the magic number for life evaluation, like how much money do I need to have a good life, is about $95,000 to be able to do everything that you want. And the point where people reach what they call satiation for emotional well-being, that is beyond this number, you won't feel happier or you won't feel less sad.
Yeah.
It's between about $60,000 and $75,000, depending on where you live in the world.
Okay.
So up until that number, people are experiencing a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety, concern, you know, can we take care of ourselves and do we also have some money in our budget that will allow us to do the things that we want to do? And then once you hit around that $60,000 to $75,000 mark, beyond that, you're not getting happier.
Yeah.
And you're not getting less sad, which are slightly different, but, you know.
yeah. So, yeah.
So the magic number, $75,000 a year.
$75,000
yeah.
a year.
Yep.
Okay. I'm not sure I completely believe it.
Yeah.
This
has been, there's a number of different studies that have been done around this. And it's, I'm not saying that that will make you happy.
Oh, no.
What I'm saying is that at that amount, then that's sort of relieving the financial pressure. You can pay for your bills. You can pay for your mortgage. You can, you know, you might own a house. You might have some holidays. You can send your children
hopefully
to school.
Hopefully save a little bit.
Save a little bit. Have a little bit put aside for your future and all of those sort of things. It's not a magic silver bullet. So it's not going to resolve any of the issues that you have around money if you have those emotional charges.
Yeah. All right. So you talked about money as a symbol. What does that mean for different people?
Yeah, it's like any of those sort of big abstract words like family, love, health, success, wealth. Money for a lot of people means security, it means freedom, it means safety, it means leverage, it means energy, it's their legacy, and it really just depends on what your life experience has led you to. So how your family spent their money, and I'm not just talking about your immediate family, I'm talking about your family history. So have you come from a long line of people who lived in poverty? Have you come from a long line of people who had all the money that they could possibly need?
And never had to think about it.
You know, that really impacts the way the words that we attach to money and the meanings that we attach to money, and then the way that we behave with money with our partners.
Which is often then where the real challenge is brought up, right? When you move out and you have together, or you're living with flatmates and you have joint bills, and people approach that very differently, from 100%. Budgeting to saving to spending, that's where there's the tension.
And we say things to each other like, oh, yeah, you know, it's important to me to budget well. But what does that even mean? Like, when you sit down and actually do it, what is well? What is financial well-being to you? What does that mean in a numerical way? You know, what are your numbers?
Mm.
Like, do you even know your numbers, or are you just kind of imagining it, right? How much travel do you want to do? What lifestyle do you want to lead? And it's really important to have those conversations really before you get into a position where it becomes problematic. Please.
If you take one thing from anything that Tara and I have talked about, I think she really wants it to be that, right? Just have these conversations before it becomes problematic. How do you start that conversation? Because money is quite personal as well.
Yeah, it can be. And there's a lot of shame associated with not having enough, there's shame associated with having too much. Often people feel like they maybe don't deserve it, or they're doing a comparison with their friends. And there are people who are really struggling. So I don't want this to be about, you know, if you work hard, you can get there. Especially on the back of the conversation you've just been having this morning about accessibility to housing and to getting into the housing market. There are really serious structural failings in this country around economics and politics and discrimination that mean that people can't get there. So you may not be able, have the capacity to hit that magic number of $75,000.
But you're not a failure because of that.
There's no shame
around
that.
And life can still be good.
Life can still be good. The more that we make this a conversation that we have, like, how much are you and your colleagues earning? Is that comparable? How much are you earning in this job? How much do you earn as a family? Because I think we have this false perception that other people in our world are doing better than we think that they are, that they don't have the struggles. I mean, I see behind the scenes of a lot of families and relationships, and people aren't living those Instagram lives that you maybe think that they are, you know. So once we sort of uncouple that shame from that conversation, and that might take a really long time. You know, I see a lot of people, me included, when I first started living with my partner, we had a lot of long and painful conversations about what that meant to us. For me, it was a lot about security, you know, and it's something I did want to touch on is, you know, a lot of people have that like escape money concept, and that was always a really big deal for me,
for that rainy day for when you need it. Or
I had had a series of really, really toxic relationships, and I had a lot of anxiety around, can I leave when I need to? And that's a reality for a lot of people in this world. So you know, I don't want to discount that either as being something important that needs to be factored into the conversation. So,
but that just comes into the security element of money,
so,
right?
Yeah.
And where you need to be financially to feel secure together as a couple, but also individually.
Yeah, that's right. And I think it's a great idea to have that money aside, even if you have it each. You know, you both have an account and you're like, this is the amount of money that where I feel like I'm safe, whether it be that we separate, that there's something happened, that there's an accident, there's an emergency. You know, I think the number is two. Like, we're all only two life events away from being homeless or being in poverty. And that's really prudent to take that into your money conversations. But also to move away from that, like, oh my gosh, that's scary stuff, looking towards your future and say, hey, as a couple, like, what do we want our financial legacy to be? You know, is it important to us to provide for our children? Do we want to make charitable contributions? Do we want to spend it all in our lifetime traveling
and
seeing the world?
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
How are we going to provide for ourselves in our future? Like, what do we want our legacy to look like? Mm. So that's a really cool conversation to have, I think. It's really kind of opening up to the hopes and dreams that you have with your partner.
Yeah. Mm. How do we have these conversations that sometimes might have to get to a difficult place without them ending in a screaming match?
Yeah, kindly and slowly. And I'm glad you asked that question, because there's actually a really great book that's come out in the last few months called Eight Dates by John and Julie Gottman, who I'm always speaking about, these who run the Gottman Institute in the States. It's called Eight Dates, and each date has a structure around a different kind of element of your relationship. So it might be your family, it might be a date that's structured around money. So it has like a little questionnaire that you work through, has some context that each of you do separately, and then some questions where you go somewhere nice, have a meal and have a conversation about those things. It's not a budgeting conversation, right? Mm. It's not, we're not getting down to the nitty-gritty of, you know,
$50 to this account, right? $40 to that account.
Yeah, which can be, you know, I think it's really important to have those sort of higher level values and beliefs conversations before you get down to the nitty-gritty, because then you can really understand where your partner's coming from. So that date is a really great date to go on. It's got some really cool questions in there around, like, you know, what's the history behind why you feel like that? How did your family do this? What did you like about that? What didn't you like? Mm. You know, and how are we going to do it together? Because I think once you realize often that the reason your partner has those opinions about money comes from a really deep-seated place of their history, then we can bring a bit more generosity and kindness to that. You know, if your partner's being really serious about accounting for every dollar, but you realize that comes from a place of maybe fear about a whole history, or they want to, you know, they have serious goals that they want to achieve, then it just changes the conversation, I think, from one that's about, you know, a kind of adversarial conversation.
Why are you acting like this?
Yeah, right. Yeah. And you're wrong, you know. No, let me logic you into submission. Let me tell you the facts.
But I'm right. Yeah. You're not. Yeah.
Let me tell you the facts that will make you realize that you're wrong. Mm. And then we'll do my thing instead of having our thing.
I feel like everything that we talk about at this time on a Monday morning, that approach never works. It doesn't matter what it is.
It doesn't ever. Like the whole, you know, pros and cons or right and wrong, or I often see people, I work with couples who try and do the like fact checking, you know, oh, you know, this happened last week and I felt really sad. Well, it didn't happen like that.
Because if you look back at this, right? This and this.
Or actually you were wearing jeans, you weren't wearing a dress, like that story. And I think, well, you're not really getting to the nub of the point.
Yeah.
You know, you're missing the point there. You're fact checking detail and you're not really. I think it's about shifting the focus from accounting to connecting, because you need to be able to connect with your partner on that level.
And can a couple work if they have got very different ideas around money and budgeting, if they are open with these communications?
Absolutely. Absolutely. People come up with some really cool and creative solutions to how to manage their money. And, you know, some people have separate finances, some people have shared finances, some people share particular bank accounts. I really don't care ever what people do. I think it's really, really shallow and naive to say this is the model that works. Mm. All I would say is ask both of yourselves, hand on heart, are we happy with this approach and is it working? And if it is, then
donuts.
Rock on.
Yeah, if you're not fighting about it, if it's not causing tension.
Yeah.
But also be open to it changing.
I think so.
As our lives change, as we have kids, as maybe one of us loses a job, you know, like all of that has to be constantly evolving.
Absolutely, because we don't live static lives. You don't make a decision at 20, especially in the environment, in the world that we're living in now. Things change so quickly. Like you said, jobs, children, circumstances, your values and beliefs evolve over your life. The outcomes that you want, your legacy might change. So you need to be continually kind of checking in, like what's working? Is this model working? Do we like it? Which bits do we want to keep? Which bits are maybe, you know, causing some tension or not really working anymore? Mm. Are we financially literate? Like, is our model
smart?
Effective?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are we doing everything that we want to do individually and together, right? Like economically?
Like we set it up like this 5 years ago, set and forget, which a lot of people do, walk away, and you need to be able to come back and say, are we tracking on our goals? Is this really working for us? I also did want to comment too about the separate finances, that it's important to unpack sort of the reasoning behind why you've decided to do that. Is it fear-based? Is it a trust thing? Is it pragmatic? Is it an elegant solution to an issue that you have? Mm. And reflect on things like the percentage split that people might put in. So I know I've come from relationships where I was adamant, 50-50, I'm 50-50 on everything. And my partner was earning twice as much as I was. So what that effectively meant was, like, I was ballsy 50-50, I'm, you know, putting in
strong,
my share.
Strong independent woman, yeah.
Strong independent woman who also had zero disposable income while my partner was kind of doing whatever
sitting
he
pretty.
Wanted. Mm. You know, to be able to assess those different, the different contributions that people make to a household other than maybe money. So maybe look at having a percentage split. Like, I pay 25% of the what do you call it? What's the word? Obviously not a money person. Expenses.
Yeah, right.
25%, you pay 75%, and then we have some disposable income that we can spend.
When we get these conversations right and we're checking in, is this a good day? Are we then able to, you know, ride the pony to the finish line and just have an epic relationship together? You know, it means good things across the board.
I think it's a really strong foundation. Mm. I think if you can have a really strong conversation about money, then there's very little that you can't resolve together, because it is just traditionally and you know, in our lives, something that can be so loaded.
So tough.
Yeah, so tough. So I think if you have the structure, kind of the framework around how to have that conversation respectfully and with generosity, and then you're also achieving those goals, like you're almost at the finish line, Kaya.
Tara, always great to chat with you. We'll do it again next week. Thank you.
Thanks, Kaya.
Tara Whitewood there, our relationship coach from The Sugar Doctor.